All right. Welcome back, everybody, to another Old Friends Catch-Up. What's up, Kyle?
Walker, what's going on, dude?
Just still here on Martha's Vineyard somehow. We came here in March for quarantine, and we've never left.
Dude, you've been holding it down. What, like 6 months? 6 months longer than you thought it was going to be?
Oh, for sure. We thought we were going to be here for a month. Yeah. We've been paying for rent in New York.
Wow.
Which just...
I bet.
We like love our apartment too.
I bet. Yeah. I remember seeing pictures of your guys' spot when you first moved in. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah. So we're heading back this weekend, I think. We're going to be back in New York. And then, I don't know. The year is a big question mark. How's everything going for you?
Good, man. Good. Just LA life is pretty much the same. Just we've been busy at the clinic. And the big thing with me is my family and your family as well have been stressing out about the fires up north. So,
dude.
Yeah, they were so gnarly. My mom and sister were evacuated for a week. How long were you guys? How long was your mom evacuated?
Yeah, she was out for a little over a week, I think.
Damn. Yeah. So, you know, that's been the big stress in my life over the past couple of weeks. But yeah, we came out okay, dude. Some of our friends weren't so lucky, you know?
Yeah, so we're in St. Helena, and it never really made it into the proper downtown. What was the deal with Calistoga? Because you're on the outskirts right there.
Yeah, I mean, my sister's on the outskirts of sort of downtown, but my mom is outside of city limits. And dude, the fire got within like 300 yards of her place. It was no way. Yeah, it was pretty nerve-wracking. Our neighbor kind of snuck in just to get some stuff out of their place, and they took a picture of how close the fire was getting, and it was like the picture is so crazy. But we're good.
Yeah, it's surreal. I mean, we have so many, you know, mutual friends, the two of us, and just beyond our separate worlds, like of just people whose houses are just gone.
Yeah.
Everything just gone. It's just so hard to wrap your head around and imagine what that's like.
Yep.
Like I can't even begin to.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, I mean, what's sad is this is, you know, the bad fire season is becoming way too normal up there. And
yeah,
this time of the year, it's always gnarly up there, but I think this has been the worst for our little community.
Yeah. And it's just, it's become so normal. And yet, you know, growing up, we never thought about fires. Like,
I know.
If a fire could happen, you know, you knew it was possible, but there was never this, you know, hanging threat of just an entire mountainside going up in flames. Like, it just didn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was talking with my mom about it, and we thought of maybe three or four semi big fires within like a 30 mile radius of us between the first 30 years of my life. And then the last 4 years, it's just been every single summer and fall. It's insane.
I know. And this year was so bad for all of the winemakers and for all the vineyards because they hadn't harvested yet.
I know.
Like, what's going on with some of the family friends you have? Have you talked to them, or do you know what they're going to do? A lot of people are just going to let the grapes just drop.
Yeah. I feel like the people who can save their crop will, but a lot of people are just letting their stuff go from what I've heard. Yeah. So, dude, just, I mean, you know, our little economy has been hit hard enough. Our little local economy up in Napa has been hit hard enough by just the virus.
Yeah.
This on top of that is... I don't know. It's gonna be a tough blow. So everybody, all of our friends and family up in Napa, we're thinking about you guys.
Yeah, we're thinking of you. And you know, if you want to throw some support to some small family wineries, better time than ever to get some Napa wine. Because I mean, who knows what's gonna happen with next year's vintage?
It's true.
And it's one way to support a lot of the wineries that have been affected, and especially for the smaller family.
Yeah, should we drop a couple links in the show notes for some?
Yeah, let's do that. And and if you know for those out there who have anything more to give for some of the there's a Napa Valley Community Disaster Relief Fund that we've been linking on Instagram, and there's the Napa County Farm Bureau Foundation that's getting gift cards to families who've been affected or evacuees. And there's another one called Puertas Abiertas. That's a nonprofit in cool. Napa helping people. So we'll throw some links in the show notes for sure.
Cool. Yep. Good. All right, dude. Should we I'm psyched on this episode. Who do we got today?
So I got some bad news, dude.
What's that?
You know, this month it's foam rolling. Everything's focused on foam rolling, and so we thought I was really trying to get Rob Welsh. There was like no other skater who we could have had other than Rob fucking Welsh. And I almost had him.
Yeah, I almost had him. He's skateboarding's godfather of the foam roller, right?
100%, yeah. But he flaked, and we're kind of down to the wire and trying to get something out. So I thought we would mix it up this week, Kyle. I thought we would just, or this month, I should say, I thought we would just throw up some of the content we have on Patreon. Throw up the foam rolling deep dive. Give people... I thought it would be a good way to sort of share what we're doing every month with all of these different subjects.
Yeah, so I think that's a good idea. You know, this is... The deep dive is where I really put in most of the work for this stuff. You know, I cite a lot of articles. We go really deep into the research behind each topic that we're talking about. So this is where I put in a lot of work. And, you know, I think it's good that we can share at least one episode of the deep dive with the public just to show people, you know, the work that we're putting in for these things.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's short and sweet and digestible, and it really complements the video. You know, every month we do a 101 on a particular topic that is a video where you're also giving a voiceover explaining.
Yeah, yeah. So if the 101 video is the quote unquote what, the deep dive really goes into the why behind, you know, some of the exercises and things we talk about.
Yeah. So let's just throw it on.
Let's do it.
Let's throw it on, and then we're not going to let Rob Welsh off the hook.
Should we watch a couple of his video parts and talk some shit?
Yeah. Let's nerd out on some Rob.
Let's do it. I'm psyched.
All right, Kyle, let's keep this conversation going. You know me as a big time foam roller. I'm not sure where I got the inspiration from. I kind of think it was Rob Welsh from some video back in the day. Do you remember what it
was? Was it Fully Flared, or was it the Transro video? I'm going to say Fully Flared.
I think it was like a tour video. Yep. Around the time of Fully Flared.
That makes sense.
But they were talking about his gross ass foam roller that he had rolling around, and I didn't even know what it was or what the benefit was for, but I got into it a couple years later, and I've been an avid roller since. Do you foam roll?
I actually don't. That shit really hurts, man. I don't know how people do it so much. I don't, because it hurts and it's takes forever to do, and I feel like I can get more bang for my buck increasing flexibility and, you know, improving soreness and pain with other stuff. So I actually don't. I do it sometimes, but not a lot.
I got super into it as just something to do while I was watching some nice long form TV shows. I feel like I probably foam rolled my way through an entire viewing of The Wire, season 1 through 5.
Wow, that's a lot of foam rolling.
I started bringing my foam roller everywhere. Like, I would bring it on every trip. That was a big reason I wanted to make them, with the little caps so I could make better use of storage.
Oh yeah.
But I feel like a big question is how effective it really is. I mean, I do it because it feels good. It feels kind of like a massage. But what's really going on? And, like, you know, what does the research say?
I mean, it is effective. It does have its uses, but the effectiveness is moderate at best, and it's pretty temporary. So we know from the research that if you foam roll, you're going to be more flexible. But the flexibility does not last that long. Like, we're talking minutes, 10 minutes, according to some research.
Damn.
And we also know that if you foam roll, you're going to be less sore. But it takes a lot of work
to decrease the soreness, and the relief in soreness doesn't last that long. So one study showed that you have to foam roll for 20 minutes to get 10 to 30 minutes of soreness relief. It just seems like,
whoa.
Yeah. So, I mean, the shit works, but it works a little bit and it doesn't last that long. So that's why it definitely has its uses, but you don't have to foam roll your way through the wire necessarily.
All right. But if I'm on a trip, let's say, and my legs are wrecked and I probably can't skate, but I desperately want to skate a spot for even for that half an hour. If I get a little 20 minute rolling before, like I might kind of be able to pull it off. Like,
yeah. Yep. Yeah. That might be a situation where, you know, you get like a little window after you foam roll to tolerate some skating.
And so what about directly after? I mean, if I'm super sore, foam rolling hurts so much anyway, because my legs will just be in pain. But if before that soreness really kicks in and I've just, let's say, jumped down a 12 stair for 2 hours, I find like that feels pretty good on my muscles. Like they're so tight and I can feel that it's going to be a bad one. I just go straight to rolling. Do you think there's a benefit there?
Yeah, that might help. It's certainly worth a try. But usually you feel the soreness, you foam roll, and then the soreness is diminished.
Okay.
And another thought on that window, like, yes, if you foam roll when your legs are really sore, you're going to feel less sore. But if your legs are really sore, they also need to recover. So would it be wise to foam roll and then temporarily feel less soreness and then go skate a big set of stairs when your legs might need a little bit more recovery time? Like, that's just another thought.
Yeah, like that's your body telling you to chill anyway.
Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. Yeah.
So let it recover.
What are just in general, like, what are some ways to avoid that soreness that's healthy, not just numbing the pain or something? Like, you know, it's healthy to feel sore, but are there some treatments? Like, I love the ice bath. I feel like I'll see a difference. Sometimes I'll take some like branched chain amino acids like directly after skating, and I feel like that helps. Just to give my body that sort of protein dose that I wouldn't be getting from my meals.
There's a ton of shit out there, dude. I mean, yeah. There's a whole industry out there that tries to give you different little tricks to decrease soreness. But I mean, my philosophy is like, if you jump down a bunch of shit or if you exercise really aggressively, you're going to be sore. That's normal. To a certain extent, just, you know, get your rest, be good with your hydration, be good with your nutrition, and let the body heal. You don't necessarily need to spend all your money on recovery when, you know, really you just got to let it run its course and come back to life.
When you say nutrition, though, like, what is a nutrition error that could increase soreness?
I mean, getting a 12-pack after skating and
yeah, but like, what about like a 6-pack, or what about just like 3 IPAs? You know,
I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I do that sometimes, but it's not necessarily great for your recovery.
Okay, but that's kind of related to hydration, right? Like,
yeah, hydration, nutrition. There's nutrients in beer, not really good ones, but
but when you say diet, as in like what you're eating, what should we be thinking about?
I mean, that's not my area of expertise, but I know nutrition does have a role in recovery.
We'll get a nutritionist on.
There we go. Yeah, that's the next
episode. I'm fascinated by that. Like, I always want to know like what really is going on with the body as far as processing food and how that works in. I know that like my basic understanding is that you get the right protein, it's going to help your muscles get back to normal.
Yep. Yeah, there's some truth to that.
Do you think foam rolling can improve your skateboarding ability?
Probably not. I mean, the short answer is no.
Yeah.
The good news is that foam rolling is not going to harm your skateboarding performance. Uh-huh. Some things like static stretching can actually make your muscles a little less powerful and a little more weak, and it actually affects your performance negatively.
Whoa.
But yeah, and foam rolling doesn't do that. There are no negative consequences on performance from foam rolling, but it also doesn't help your performance. So you're not going to jump higher. You're not going to skate better if you foam roll. It kind of has a neutral effect on skating.
Interesting.
Yeah. Does this make you want to foam roll through the next episode of The Wire?
Oh, I'm still gonna do it. I love that.
Okay,
shit.
All right.
I look at it kind of like a replacement for a massage, you know. I can't quite afford going and getting my quads worked on by a masseuse, and my wife, she doesn't quite have the muscle that I sometimes require to get in on my legs. So I look at foam rolling as kind of that replacement.
Yeah, that's
poor
fair.
Man's massage.
Yeah, that's fair.
So how often do you recommend foam rolling to patients?
Not nearly as much as I used to. I mean, I do recommend it to patients. I usually recommend it to patients to help manage their pain.
Okay.
It's never the primary part of my rehab plan for a given injury, but it can be helpful to help, to basically help get patients out of pain so that they can move on and tolerate what's usually really important in their rehab plan, which is typically getting some sort of muscle group stronger and making the body more resilient so that they can get back to skating.
So you mentioned that you can foam roll before skating as a way to warm up. Do you recommend that?
Yeah, I mean, it's an option. I don't necessarily recommend it, but it is an option. Like, you can do it, but I mean, dude, foam rolling takes a long time. Like, if you really sit there and do 30, even just 30 seconds in at each body part, it takes a while.
Right.
And what I found is that there are other more efficient options to warm up the body that also have other benefits, like activating muscles and getting some cardio work going. So like things like body squats or dynamic stretching or jump roping, those things tend to be a little more efficient and you can get on your board a little bit sooner as opposed to spending 30 minutes foam rolling before a session. So I tend to recommend those things before foam rolling, but it's certainly an option to do before a session.
What about overdoing it? Are there times when you can kind of do too much?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of talked about it earlier. Like if you have an acute injury, you want to hold off on foam rolling too much. If you're really, really, really sore, you want to hold off on doing too much too soon. And then also, if you're spending so much time foam rolling that it takes away from other aspects of fitness that are more important, like let's say strength training.
Yeah.
And that's a situation where I tell people, dude, just chill out on foam rolling. Don't do it or do it less until you can do these other more important things consistently. Huh. So that'd be the other situation.
Okay. Do you know of any physical therapists who just straight up don't recommend it at all and think it's bad?
Yeah, some. But most people recommend it a little bit, but not all the time. I mean, my official...
Yeah, let's hear your final verdict.
Yeah, my official verdict is that if you're already doing it, it feels good to you, keep doing it. There's no harm. A lot of people I know swear by it, like yourself. It's okay to keep doing it.
Okay.
But if you've never foam rolled before, there's really no pressure to necessarily start foam rolling. Don't feel like you have to do it. There are other ways to warm up the body before you skate rather than spending a bunch of time foam rolling. And I don't usually do it myself, but I do recommend it to patients usually for pain management, just to get some short-term pain relief.
And what have you found are the most common pain relief situations that you recommend it?
I mean, various types of knee pain. I use it a lot for patients with neck and low back pain. Basically, any areas where there's pain and stiffness, you might be able to get some pain relief from foam rolling. And also, if you're an avid foam roller, make sure it doesn't get in the way of other parts of fitness like strength training and cardiovascular training.
Well, thanks for your wisdom.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna get back to my foam rolling.
All right, happy foam rolling, Walker. Keep it up.
All right, we'll see you later. Yeah. Thanks, Colin. All right, so that was the deep dive. Some good stuff. Much more to take in on Patreon, on Old Friends Fitness. You go patreon.com/oldfriendsfitness, and we're going on 5 issues deep, dude.
Wow, it's pretty exciting. Time flies.
I know. What's next month?
Next month we have Achilles tendinopathy. It's going to be a good one.
So in the meantime, why don't we dive into a little Rob Welsh history, dude?
Let's do it.
I'm going to hop on YouTube right now.
Okay.
And I'm going to say Rob Welsh Mad Circle.
Ooh, we're going Mad Circle. Damn, 5 flavors.
Yep. five flavors, okay. Dude. 1998.
All right, let's check it out.
And so before we fully dive into Rob's oeuvre, what do you call it? You know, their oeuvre. You know the word I'm looking for?
Like his video resume?
Yeah, his body of work.
Yeah, oeuvre is, I've never heard that word before, but video resume, before we dive into that, what?
Let's, who's Rob Welsh to you?
Rob Welsh is a, I mean, when I was in, I was heavily influenced by him in high school and early on in college. And to me, he was like a staple Bay Area street skater. I know he's from the East Coast, but when I think of Rob Welsh, I think of Pier 7. What about you?
Yeah. Did you ever have any early encounters with him at Pier 7?
Never. I've never met him. I've never seen him on a skate session. I think that's...
No way.
Yeah, I think that's part of the sort of intrigue about him is because I actually, you know, he's this Bay Area legend, but I've actually never been on the same session with him.
And I mean, I fully agree. I feel like I was obsessed with him as a skater for a period of time. I think mostly, like, I always knew about him and was always psyched on him. Aesthetics didn't quite enter my world so much as the Transworld video, For Your Mind. Mm-hmm. For Your Mind was just like, I don't know, it just got me so hyped.
Yeah.
But what's kind of ironic is that we're both, you know, Bay Area adjacent people. You never met him. I never skated with him in the Bay Area, but I skated with him a lot and got to know him pretty well in San Diego, of all places, which is like...
Oh, that's right. Because you guys were Expedition for a couple of years, right?
Yeah. So he got on Expedition around the same time I got on Organica, mm-hmm. or like... I can't remember which happened first. I would assume he got on first.
Yeah, I remember him and Joey Pepper got on together, right?
Yeah, which was a big... But he, you know, he was down there and we went on some trips. We went to Vancouver and stuff. So it was like he was definitely one of the most serious fan outs I had.
Mm-hmm.
When I first moved down to San Diego, I was 18. And I was just like skating with pros, you know? It's like, mm-hmm. damn, Rob Welsh.
That's so funny.
I feel like I don't think I ever owned Five Flavors. I saw it once, probably all the way through when I was a kid. And yeah, I haven't seen it in a while, so let's just put it on and watch it to see what happens.
Rob Welsh started skating 10 years old, I think. And I just begun. Like, yeah. Skateboarding takes me around the world, man. I'm so stoked. Until I get skateboarding out of my system, that's what it's going to be like. You know what I mean? I'm still like a big kid. You know what I mean? I got a lot of growing up to do.
Damn, Far Side too. That would have been a skate trivia question I would have lost. What stands out to me about Rob is, and this is, he's probably not going to listen to this, but if he were to listen, he might take this as a diss, but it's really not. And I feel like we've even mentioned it before, but he has kind of a stiff style. Like, he doesn't really bend his legs, but yeah. It is such good style.
Yeah.
It's like, it's one of the best.
Yeah, it just kind of goes to show you that you can be tall and stiff. Like, that's probably one of the reasons why I like him, because I'm similar. Like, I'm pretty tall, and I don't have a very spongy landing when I do tricks. But
right.
Yeah, but he still makes it look good, and I probably, you know, instinctively watched that as a teenager, and I was like, oh, it's kind of relatable, you know?
Yeah, totally. I was going to say, like, does the tall tech influence you as like why he was one of your favorites in high school and college? Because for me, I was like still pre-growth spurt when I really became a fan of Rob.
Yeah.
So I didn't know I was going to be a tall, stiff skater as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for sure. Like, I mean, I can honestly say now that yes, that absolutely influenced me. And looking back on his video parts, like, yeah, dude, I tried to implement him and kind of copy him more than I realized back then for those reasons.
So
yeah, that was a sick little part. It's crazy. It's so crazy. That full video parts back then were a minute and a half.
Yeah. And really, I mean, it was a minute because there was like
there's an intro. And this probably, it was amazing. Especially that ender, the crooked grind on that ledge. Wasn't that a cover?
Maybe. I want that crooked grind. I think it was a 4-in-1 ad that got ran constantly.
Okay, got it. For some reason, I remember
it might be just, but it might be a cover. I mean, it very well could have been like a photo that made an impact one way or the other.
I mean, I don't know my history to the T, but I bet Welsh turned pro after this part, you know?
Maybe, yeah.
So crazy.
I love it.
Yeah.
He's such a legend. All right, so which one should we do next?
Let's go in order, dude. Ride or Die. Yep, this is my favorite part of his.
W. Suspense beyond words.
That's just one bad wheel, though. They're all really good.
But yeah, dude, this Ride or Die part is my favorite part of Raw Welsh's. I did the song that I went and bought every single Shaheem CD like ever made after that. And I would try to mimic, like I tried to do, he does that manual variation on that like kind of A-frame manual, kind of like at that indoor spot. I remember trying to do that exact same trick for just weeks and didn't even get close, but like every single trick in that video parts like stand out to me at the time. He gets kind of bucked too. He skates some handrails.
Yeah.
And I think you could tell he kind of thought out his trick selection. There's like, he doesn't do one trick twice, I don't think.
I know. And he's, you know, if you think about his video part career, you know, there's not too many repeat tricks altogether.
That's true. What's your favorite trick in this part or favorite line?
I mean, my standout is really like the fakey big spin manual back big spin.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
I think that's such a sick trick. I like when tricks are neat, when tech tricks are like complete in that kind of way, you know, it's like the fakey in, regular out of the same trick. But really the first trick is what trips me out the most. It's just that half cab flip, nose manual, landing in perfect position for an ollie back heel. I really don't think it gets any better than that, dude.
Yep, that was a good one. In my opinion, his gnarliest trick was the gnarly nose slide on Hubba.
Oh, yeah.
But his last trick was just that really steezy back nose blunt slide. I'm guessing somewhere in Boston.
Yeah. No, it's a good one. There's a lot of gems in that part. It's probably, I mean, of course, if we had him on the podcast, we could ask him. But I bet he would say this is his favorite part.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Yeah, dude, this was like, he was like in the physical prime of his career and mostly SF footage, if not all SF footage, and just was looking really good.
But he also maybe, I feel like one time he told me that he watched the Transworld part once, or like he watched it at the premiere and then watched it a couple times and like never watched it again.
Yeah.
So he might be one of those guys that feels the same way about this part. It's like, oh, I didn't want to use that one clip, so it's like, fuck that part.
Yeah, but I bet you if we got six beers in him, like he would say this is the part. This is the part that he was the most proud of. That'd be my guess. Don't you think?
Yeah. But yeah. So let's move on. Let's move on to Free Your Mind, dude.
Okay. All right.
Everything. So what the hell you knobbed that for? You know, like neck high ledge gets knobbed. I don't understand that. Frisco.
So fun fact about this one, at the premiere of this video, I believe he skated to, remember Chad Tim Tim's song, Sugar My Coffee,
no way,
my tea. Yep, he skated to that song. That was supposed to be
way.
His song.
Damn,
they didn't end up getting the rights to it.
That is crazy.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, that would have been a good song for this part, I feel like.
Yeah.
And then what, like a year or two later, they actually got it for Chad Tim Tim?
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they like started the process of getting the rights to that song and then finally got it. And we're like, shit, well, we got the rights. Let's use it.
Yeah, and I feel like that video part literally extended Chad Tim Tim's career by like 5 years.
Maybe even 20.
Seriously.
I feel like he's still in it.
Seriously, yeah. But do you remember that video part? It was like, you know, I was at a crossroads in my life and I could have done this, but I decided to stick with skateboarding and here's my video part. And then like and 20 then years later, like you said, he's like still in the game.
Yeah.
So sorry, Rob Welsh. Could have been you.
Yeah.
This part is right up there with Ride or Die.
I feel like it has more of a Pier 7 focus, which is pretty cool because that was probably like, really, I just imagine it was fun but so hard to like actually get something at that spot.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's one of those spots where you have to skate there every day to kind of get the hang of it.
Yeah, and then just dealing with people and just like
yeah
the whole chaos of it all. Or like probably what was the worst was little Groms like me and my troop of five friends on my birthday, on my 10th birthday, when we like barge and just start ollieing up and kickflipping off, you know, like.
Yeah, I bet he was super annoyed with you and your fucking puka shell necklace when you showed up.
Yep.
That was definitely the love park of our zone, seriously. You know?
And like the fact that it was like so approachable because the manuals pads were so low. Mm-hmm. Most, you know, real spots you go to, you're like, ooh. As a kid, at least you're like, ooh, this is like way too tall. Maybe I'll 50-50 it.
But for me, I would see video parts and dream of doing tricks on the actual ledges or video parts of Pier 7 and think of all the ledge tricks that I wanted to do. And then show up to Pier 7 and not be able to do any of them. Those ledges were so hard to skate.
And the manual, too. I mean, the angle you had to carve into to get a trick on the
That's true.
Part.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Again, like, let's think about repeat tricks. Like, he's hardly had any.
Yeah, that's true.
Of when it comes to the ledge tricks.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like he would never admit it, but you can tell this video part was well thought out.
I know.
You know,
I think that's what's really cool about Rob's skate impact is that like he was a thinker, but he wasn't like obnoxious about it. You know what I mean? Like you could tell he was thinking about tricks, thinking about flow, thinking about like lines, but he didn't come off as like too premeditated.
Right. And you know what I love about this video part?
Double flip.
He flips his board twice. I love that shit. He was not scared.
So do you think he is the number one influence for your double flip phase?
Yes.
Which
for
I should
sure.
say is probably still going on. Are you still keen to double flip when you have a chance?
No, ever since I switched to an 8.5 board, the double flips have literally become impossible. Like I would strain a groin trying to flip my board twice. But back in the day, because, you know, somebody like Rob makes it look acceptable. Like I was down for the double flip.
Oh, he fully made double flips acceptable.
Yeah.
Who just did one.
He just did one in the video part. And it's like, whoa, where did that come from? And damn, you'd never see it again from him. And I was like, oh, that's something back then I was riding 7.75 boards and I had a size 12 shoe. I was like, oh, I could physically do this. I'm gonna go with this.
Well, so what video part would we watch next? Oh, it'd be fully flared now, right?
It'd be fully flared. But I mean, do we watch fully flared? Like I consider those the ones that we just talked about, his three video parts.
Yeah. Well, I think because of the subject at hand, foam rolling, it's essential. Because if it wasn't for foam rolling, he may not have filmed what he did film for Fully Flared.
On the other hand, if he wasn't spending so much time fucking foam rolling, he might have gotten more clips for the Lakai video, no?
I will say that he got screwed with the Lakai video.
I've heard
he had
that.
A lot of footage.
He had a lot of clips, footage. Right.
He easily could have had... I feel like Alex Olsen's intro was like the same length of Rob's part. Like,
yeah.
And he had a ton of extra footage. I think he got dealt a kind of bad hand with that one. Cause he was, even when I was in San Diego, like skating with the KO dudes, most missions when Rob was on them, he was like thinking of fully flared tricks. Like he was still filming for that video.
Right.
So, or at least for a year or so. So that, and he would get stuff, you know? So I feel like he got dealt kind of a bad hand, but let's just say this. Let's at least watch the video that we talk about in the deep dive, which I found.
Okay.
If you search Rob Welsh foam rolling, we can watch it.
One time we were eating inside this restaurant and these people came in. They're like, hey, is that your white van out there? Like there's some like creepy dude. He's out there standing by it. Like, you know, I think he's going to break into it. So like we all like a couple dudes jump up and we all go out and look out there. And it's like Rob sitting by the van, like smoking a cigarette. And like we just start laughing. We're like... Like, clean yourself up, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people think they're trying to break into the van out there.
Being a skateboarder, a lot of your balance muscles are on the outside of your legs, and they get really tight. So I got this, like, foam thing that I kind of lay on.
A foam roller is, like...
Dude, his foam roller was so grungy.
Like, his is, like, that long, that round, you know what I mean? It's just a tube.
Well, and his foam roller, he's just, you know, he blew out his knee. And so part of the rehab is the foam roller.
Oh, that's a good exercise there, a little single leg squat.
What the fuck are we talking about?
After him having to go through knee surgery, he needed the foam roller in order to warm up to skate.
Looks like he's trying to, like, I don't know, make pizza dough with his leg or something.
Dude, he's got the good technique.
Foam roller out anywhere. He'll foam roll on the dirtiest, like, blacktop parking lot.
I like the way Costin's pronouncing it. He'll foam roll on the dirtiest blacktop.
And, but it's become like,
I love how they had to literally explain what a foam roller was. This is like the first exposure to foam rolling for 99% of skaters, you know?
Hypodermic needles, crack pipes, spit, chew, anything.
Dude, so classic.
Anywhere that doesn't have any of that works just fine. This is fine. I can do this. This is AIDS free. Hep C, doubt it.
And so it just became this just joke, because he's always like, he's on his foam roller, but he's like smoking a cigarette on a foam roller. Like, you know, he's harming himself one way, but he's like trying to help himself in the other way at the same time. It just makes no sense.
Every tour he was on, he had the foam roller, the same one, and he'd roll on the ground. By like the second tour or something, and he showed up with it, and it's the same foam roller, and he rolls on the ground, so it gets dirty, you know what I mean? The thing's like dirty. Sometimes people would like hide it, and he'd be like bummed, like, dude, no, like, I need that thing.
You can't fuck with a foam roller. He gets really bent out of shape if you fuck with a foam roller.
Can I tell you the first time I seen the roller?
So good.
It was after I was trying that nollie heel over the bump, and I'm pretty sure he offered me to use it, like, come on, roll it out, man. Roll it out. You just need to roll it out. And he, like, got on it, and he's just, like, doing his little thing on it. It's so funny, dude. I'm like, what is this, dude?
It actually really works, but when you bring it on a Motel 6 trip, you're going to catch some grease.
So good.
So, looking back on it now, what's your take on that?
I mean, when I watch that video, I look at it, I watch it as a pure skater, you know? that's initially, like, what I'm thinking about. Like I remember watching it and being, like, kind of confused and intrigued and kind of weirded out at the same time. But, like, when I put on, like, my physical therapy hat, it's like, yeah, I mean, he's doing it. Like, I would teach my patients how to do it when I do prescribe foam rolling, and like, he
really,
yeah, I mean, his technique is pretty good, you know.
Nice.
Yeah. He is clearly obsessing way too much about foam rolling based on, you know, based on the other skaters, you know, sort of comments on it.
Hey, but like you said in the podcast, dude, 20 minutes, get that extra, like, extra little 30 minutes of being able to skate, or I can't remember exactly what it
was.
Yeah,
but if you watch the footage, it's 2 minutes and 15 seconds of him foam rolling, and then maybe 7 seconds of him doing like a little single leg squat.
Yeah.
It should be the opposite.
Okay, cool. So the single leg squat is like where?
These days, the priorities have just changed, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay. All right. So it has changed a little
but
bit.
But hey, his tech, dude, he's a godfather. His technique is good.
Well, we'll have to send him even though he flaked on us, we'll have to send him a foam roller.
Oh, absolutely. Send him a PT pack. And yeah. Welsh, we love you, dude.
Yep. All right. Well, let's sign out with let's just watch his, you know, it's kind of full circle for Rob and his video parts. I think Fully Flared is about like a minute and a half of footage too.
Okay, let's do it. So type in Rob Welsh, Fully Flared.
So it starts with the nose slide pop out.
Yep.
Classic, yeah. Rob. He really did like make that his trick.
Yeah. Yeah, every single video part he has like a standout one.
Yeah.
I forgot he went through a phase where he...
kind of trucker Rob.
Yeah, trucker Rob, but like either spent a lot of time in Arizona or lived in Arizona.
He lived there, yeah. He
Damn.
Lived there. Which is so funny. It's like
you would almost never guess that based on his previous two video parts.
Yeah.
See, this is just like it's a weird hybrid of Arizona, SF, and then fucking like Sacramento, you know, it's just not.
Yeah. It's not the Rob we fell in love with, you know.
It's not. That's why I consider his other three video parts like his his best body of work, but he still got down.
He still put on some cargo pants, and he did a twirly bird 720.
I love it. Or
is it a 540?
I don't know, but it's just like the Rob Welsh nose blunt. It's perfect.
Yep.
Short but sweet.
Cool. Yep. All right. Well, I feel like we should probably sign off. That's been way too much gas up Rob's ass that he probably deserves from us. But you know what?
I agree. Yeah. Welsh, we love you, but
we're a little hurt. You know,
we're a little bummed that you didn't make it on to our highly successful podcast.
I had him too. I had him there. He was there, ready to go.
You did, dude. He spooked him.
Didn't pick up the call.
He answered your text, but didn't pick up the call. How long did you wait for him on Zoom?
A good 2.5 hours. Because it was a very vague, Saturday morning, hit me up. So I did. And then I did again. And then I waited patiently, like a sad little fan. Like a sad little fanboy. Yeah.
Yep. But you know what? That's all right. His mystery lives on.
Yep. The intrigue. He still has never done a podcast, so.
Oh, we thought we were going to be the first. That's so crazy. Too good to be true.
All right, well, everyone, thanks for listening to this replacement catch-up.
Yeah.
You know, we should probably just do this every now and then. It's good to get a little of the info out there. I don't have any problems with it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we got to make sure our patrons feel like they're getting something special, but you know, every once in a while we got to show the public what we're doing, you know.
Yeah, but they're getting a lot. I feel like everyone keeps telling me I'm giving away way too much for one of these Patreon things.
Yeah,
but you know what, you
put a lot of work in, dude. But yeah,
we're generous guys.
We got to get this content out there somehow.
All right, Kyle.
All right, good shit, Walker. We'll see you next issue.
Yep, let's do it.
All right, later.
All right, see everyone once again. Thank you, Bobby Renz, for the music.
Thanks, Bobby.
Hell yeah. Peace out.